announcement has been requested by we now turn to the book of Psalms, to Psalm 104. Psalm 104. We now listen to the word of our God as follows. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind, who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. You who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the voice of your thunder they hastened away. They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys, to the place which you founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon which he planted, where the birds make their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high hills are for the wild goats. The cliffs are a refuge for the rock badgers. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows it is going down. You make darkness, and it is night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. When the sun rises, they gather together and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. This great and wide sea, in which are innumerable teeming things, living things both small and great. There the ships sail about. There is that Leviathan, which you have made to play there. These all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, they are filled with good. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. So far, the reading from God's Word. We now turn to the Heidelberg Catechism, to Lord's Day 9, which you can find on page 16 in the back of your Psalter hymnal. Here, the Word of God is summarized as follows for us. What do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? That the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father because of Christ, his Son. I trust him so much that I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need for body and soul, and he will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends me in this sad world. He is able to do this because he is Almighty God. He desires to do this because he is a faithful Father. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, many people talk about the various world religions as different ways to serve the same God. What would you say to that? How big are the differences, for example, between a Muslim, a Hindu, and a Christian? Are the differences between the Christian faith and other religions gradual or fundamental? The differences are fundamental. We go further than the words of someone who believes that there is a God. Even the devil and all his angels could confess as much as that. But it's not a source of comfort to them. Their acknowledgement is born of fear. James says, "You believe that God is one? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." There is a decisive difference between faith in a God and faith in God the Father. God's Word teaches us this, and we echo it in the first article of the Apostles' Creed. It's a radical confession. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. This is not a vague confession that anyone could subscribe to. This is a confession that testifies to a bond with the Father and the Son. You can't confess this properly without believing in Jesus Christ. We can even take this a step further. The Holy Spirit is also involved in this confession. The Apostle Paul explains that through the Holy Spirit we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And so when we say, I believe in God the Father, we do so through the Son and the Holy Spirit. God the Father becomes our Father through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And confessing this sets us apart from other religions. Our confession is based on God's Word. And so the theme for this afternoon is, I believe in God the Father Almighty. And we'll focus on 2 points, his power, and secondly, his care. I believe in God the Father Almighty. We'll focus on his power and his care. The Apostles' Creed, beloved, expresses our faith in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It also forms a useful framework for summarizing our faith. We speak about who God is and what he does. We deal with our creation and redemption. And with this, the history of the world comes into view. Also the future, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. God's Word teaches us about God as the Father. God is, first of all, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first thing that the Catechism in Lord's Day 9 points to. As the Son of God, Christ knows the Father in a unique way. The Apostle John highlights the unique relation between God the Father and his only Son. No one has ever seen God, but God, the only Son who is at the Father's side, has made him known. The Son is at the side of the Father. He came into this world to make the Father known to us. The Scripture speaks of God as the Creator. This knowledge is very comforting when we know this Creator as our Heavenly Father. In Psalm 104 that we just read together, the psalmist says, O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. And note that the psalmist refers to God as Lord. Lord, and that's in capital letters. He's using the personal name of God here. That's what those capital letters are pointing to. In the Hebrew, you would read Yahweh there. And the meaning behind the name of the Lord as Yahweh is derived from a Hebrew verb that means to be. In other words, God is the God who is there. Think back to Exodus when Moses asked God, what is your name? And the Lord referred to himself as I am. I am. That is the name that he was to make known to the people of God. God is the God who is there. And in Psalm 104, the psalmist, he expresses his bond with God. O Lord, my God. And he goes on to describe God's power as Creator. God is invisible. But although he is invisible, he makes himself known through the works of his hands. Just as you can't see the wind, but when the wind goes by, things get stirred up, and there's movement, action. Think of the fall time when the leaves come falling out of the trees. The wind comes by, and you can see that the wind is there, not directly, but by its results. God is invisible, but his splendor and majesty are revealed through his creation. Think of how God said in the beginning, let there be light, and there was light. The light of the sun is already too bright for our eyes. How much more the light that radiates from the splendor and majesty of God himself. Our Heavenly Father created the world we live in. He only had to speak to do this. Have you ever been camping, boys and girls? It's not that hard to set up a tent, is it? We read in Psalm 104 that God stretches out the heavens like a curtain or like a tent. Look up at the skies and think about what you see. The sun, moon, and stars are not gods, as some people have thought. They should remind us continually of the power of our God. After all, he made them. And there's so many stars in the universe. Every time there's a clear night, you can see thousands of them. And just think of this vast expanse of the starry heavens. This is God's work. They are at phenomenal distances away from the earth. And yet they burn so brightly in the darkness, piercing it, shining on us from above. God knows each one of them. But not the stars, but God should be admired and adored for what he has made. Scripture emphasizes the strength of the Lord. There's no limit to what he is able to do. In Psalm 104, verse 5, we read, you who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever. God is the one who set the earth on a firm foundation. He made everything in the world around us. And he didn't need any help or advice to do the work that he did. God is incomparable. Nothing is equal to him. No one is equal to him. He is uncreated. He is eternal. The Bible highlights God's continuing display of power as creator. He not only made everything, he keeps things going. The so-called laws of nature are expressions of his intricate work. Think of matter and energy and the relationship between them. Think of the relationships between living beings, where they live and how they move. The regularity of God's work may tempt us to think that God created the world and then maybe left it up to run on its own. But this isn't true. He continues to be personally involved in the work of his hands. The psalmist reminds us of this in verses 10 through 12. He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them, the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. And so, this passage reminds us how God is intimately involved with the creation that he has made. He is the one to be thinking of when you see springs of water pouring down a mountainside. He's the one you should be thinking of as you see the works of his hands, also in the falling of rain. God uses his power, providing for the creatures of this world. In Article 2 of the Belgic Confession, we confess that the creation, preservation, and government of the universe is like a most beautiful book, wherein all creatures, great and small, are as so many letters, leading us to perceive clearly the invisible things of God, namely his eternal power and deity. Our eyes are too dim to read the book of nature properly. To see things clearly, we need to put on the glasses of Scripture. And then we derive comfort from the power of our God and Creator reflected in the universe. Nothing happens outside the will of God. He governs everything. He is king. It's a recurring theme throughout the Psalms. The Lord reigns. He reigns over this globe that we call earth. Nothing happens by chance. Our lives are part of his work, which embraces all of space and time. He gives us a place in this world. Our God reminds us in this turbulent world that he is all-powerful. He uses his strength to steer the course of world history. It's good to remember this. Tumultuous developments and shocking events have often taken place in history. And things are no different today. Man has not changed. Think of the many armed conflicts in the world. Princes and rulers, symbols of human authority, are in God's hands. He can give them power. He can also take it away, leaving them powerless. Just think of how governments can be formed, but can also fall. In the Middle East, changes continue to take place in various countries. By comparison, things seem to be pretty stable in Canada, don't they? The Conservative Party of Canada may pride itself on having the majority and being in control. But things can change easily. The economies of the nations of this world are interconnected. We see how one country after another can end up facing a financial crisis. Governments can fall as a result. Countries can plunge into chaos. In the midst of uncertainties, let one thing, beloved, be certain for us. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Whatever may happen abroad or in Canada, remember that God is in control of history. All he asks us to do is to be faithful to him and to trust in him from day to day. I believe in God the Father Almighty. Hold on to that confession, remembering the power of our God as Creator. But also take comfort in knowing of his care. After all, he uses his power to provide for all who place their trust in him. And so we come to our second point. Beloved, God's word teaches us about our riches as children of our Heavenly Father. It's important to continue to hear and read that in God's word. Pleading on the basis of the sacrifice of Christ, God's Son, trust that he will help us. He will give us what we need for our bodies and for our souls. Come to him as his children, asking him for wisdom and strength to serve him. In the book of Psalms, we read, the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. But what if we don't see this in our lives? Have you never had serious setbacks? God's people have sometimes doubted God's care when facing times of trouble. And we can go through periods like that too. Then we acknowledge God, but maybe we feel deserted by him. We wonder if he cares about what is happening to us. And this can lead to feelings of discouragement and depression. Maybe you're in the midst of such difficulties now. Scripture gives us a record of doubts and questions expressed by God's people. Our God had a good reason for having these questions written down for us. They're in the Bible along with his answers. In this way, we can receive the encouragement that we need. So what are the answers God gives us in regard to the doubts and questions of his people? He points to his omnipotence, his all-embracing power. He also reminds us of his faithfulness. The Lord is his name as the faithful God of the covenant. He is the God who is there. He has no beginning and no end. He has been from eternity and will continue forever. The ends of the earth were created by him. And this means the whole world in its fullest extent was made by him. Think about that. We have reason to keep trusting that God is in control. He is the Almighty Creator. He hasn't lost sight of us and forgotten us. Hold on to this no matter what happens. The Lord's ability to help and protect his people is endless and limitless. Remember, he is omnipotent, all-powerful. He doesn't faint or grow weary. There's no limit to his ability to guide our lives and give us his blessings. The Lord is also omniscient. That means he knows everything. We can't begin to comprehend the depths of his understanding. His wisdom is unfathomable. Isn't that evident from his work in creation? Knowing God as creator helps us to deal with doubts and questions as to who is in control. Remember how the Lord has responded to the questions of his people. If we remember that, we'll have an answer even before such questions arise in our own hearts. And we'll also be better able to deal with them when they do crop up. It's important for us to know our place as creatures who depend on our Creator. Don't doubt his power or wisdom or his willingness and his ability to take care of you. Entrust yourself to him. Knowing that he is our God and Father for the sake of Christ, his Son, gives further comfort. The Father sent his Son into this world to be the Savior of sinners. And trusting in the work of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we receive salvation. This gives us reason to trust in God as our God and Father. An earthly father provides for his children. And Jesus Christ makes it clear that God, as our Father, will provide for us in far better ways. In his time and in his own way, he will give us the help that we need. That's what he did for his people in the past. That's what he continues to do now. And hold on to this even when you don't yet see evidence of his guidance and help. Never judge God's plans with our lives by means of our limited understanding. Beloved, there are some things that we will never understand. Our finite intellect will never be enough to fathom the depths of God's thoughts and plans. Never be slow to acknowledge this. The world we live in suffers from the effects of man's fall into sin. And as a result, there is adversity. Difficulties and cares are part of our earthly existence. God doesn't prevent us from experiencing them. He doesn't shield us from what the Catechism calls this sad world. Or as another translation puts it, this life of sorrow. Sin and its effects hamper the full development of life in fellowship with God. Sin limits the joy we could otherwise experience in this life. Human happiness is so fragile and temporary. Serious problems and feelings of grief can really weigh us down. Human strength can be exhausted. Scripture doesn't hide this fact. Even young people can collapse physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Any one of us can go through such periods in life. We can get to the point where we wonder if we can make it through another day. But the Lord teaches us that our drained resources can be renewed. He is the source of strength for the weak and weary. So what should we do if we go through such trying experiences? Keep trusting in his promises. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. We can't explain this, but it's a promise to hold on to. So live in the light of his word day by day. Your heavenly Father might not give you what you wanted or still want, but he will give you what you need also in dealing with the sorrows of this life. Wait patiently for him. He will keep his promises. And maybe you wonder about this in regard to yourself. You know your shortcomings and sins. Will the Lord God listen to your prayers? We read in 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. From all unrighteousness. And so God deals with our sins as well as our sinful natures, our sinfulness. And so we have reason, beloved, to put our hope in the Lord, trusting in him for salvation. The Lord is more than just the creator of the universe. He is the source of unfailing love. And his forgiving love comes to us through Jesus Christ, his Son. And the power and the extent of God's fatherly love forms the guarantee of cleansing from all unrighteousness. He delivers us from the burden of sin and guilt. There's no further price to be paid beyond what Jesus Christ paid on the cross. Our debt has been wiped out in full. And so put your hope in the Lord. He will enable you to rise out of the depths of sorrow and depression. He lifts us up by the power of His Word. He gives us a new perspective in life. Circumstances don't necessarily change, but we will have a better view of them. And this can help us to cope with the difficulties of life and to move on. God is our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Just think about that, having God as our Father. Earthly fathers can disappoint us. And as you think of your earthly father, perhaps there are disappointments that come to your mind. Earthly fathers can forget what they have said or be unable or unwilling to keep their word. But God is not like that. He is our Almighty Father, the Creator of heaven and earth. All of creation is a testimony of His eternal power and divine nature. Don't doubt His ability to help you. Look around you. Doesn't the majesty of His creation prove that He is able to fulfill all His promises of salvation? Trust in Him. It's a great comfort to know God as our Father. Look to Him when you feel distressed. The Apostle Peter urges us, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Note that Peter doesn't deny that there can be anxieties. Don't be ashamed if you feel anxious at times. Just remember to do what God commands you to do. Lay your physical and spiritual needs before Him in prayer. Isn't He able and willing to take care of you? Carry on knowing that He will provide you with what you really need. He won't lose sight of you or forget you. God can use difficult circumstances for our good. Believe that, even if you don't see evidence of it. Believe it, even if you never understand His purpose in certain events. Trying times can become times of growth as we draw near to Him. He is a faithful Father. And such a Father won't leave His children in the depths of despair. He comes to us again and again with words of encouragement, with the good news of salvation. And so, beloved, confess your faith in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And let Him govern your life. Lay your burdens before Him in prayer, and then carry on with the tasks that He gives you. Trust in His power and rest secure in His care. Amen.